morning from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. After this manner, pray ye therefore, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His precious and His eternal word. Coming before the great God, who would dare call Him their Father? Who would dare approach the throne? If you went to Rome to visit the Pope, if you went to the White House to visit the President, if you went to London to visit the Queen, you would be stopped long before you got to their person. You would never get to the throne to touch them and call them Father or Mother in the case of the Queen. You would never get to them. Who would have the audacity to come into the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the all-powerful one who has all power that there is? Who on earth could stand before that God and run to that God and hold on to Him and call Him my Father? And yet, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from glory and lived in this world as a human being and lived our lives and died our death, He instructed us how to pray. And I would think if you were going to take instructions on how to pray, you might want to take it from the best source as possible. I remember once I was going to speak at a baccalaureate service at a high school, and as I started out onto the stage to be seated, the Catholic priest was going to pray the invocation, and he was nervous as could be. And he whispered to me, and he said, I've never done this before. I don't know what to say. What do you say? And I said, well, I say, Our Father, which art in heaven. And he grinned. He said, well, that's what I say. I said, then that's the way we'll approach Him, because the Lord Jesus has instructed us to call Him Father. Now, everybody in the world cannot call Him Father and it be the truth, can they? Because He spoke to some people in the day and time that He was living on the earth, and He said, you do the works of your father, the devil. And we manifest ourselves, whose children we are, by whose father we obey. So we say, how could I have the audacity to approach the Almighty God and call Him my Father? Now, that's He is called Father in the Old Testament almost never. But He is called Father. He's listed as the Father of us all by creation. He's listed as the Father of us all in the sense that He's the Father of the Hebrew nation that He's chosen to do His will. But if you search through the Scriptures, you're going to have to search high and low and far and near, from Genesis to the end of Malachi, to find where God is called Father by anybody. Now, He's the Almighty. He's the Everlasting. He's the omnipotent one, all of that. People who were carried in the spirit like Daniel, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. People in the Old Testament were carried into heaven. They saw him high and lifted up on his throne. You say, well, they ran up to him and hugged him and called him daddy. Not on your life. Not in this world. They fell on their faces and lay flat on the ground with their face against the ground and trembled and shook till they felt like the joints were coming loose from their body. They were terrified because they were in the presence of the mighty and the everlasting God. And they could not see themselves. They could see him as the father of all creation. They could see him as the father of the Hebrew nation. They could see him high and lifted up, but they could not see him as the father. Not like when you come home in the evening. Eddie O'Dell tells me one of the greatest joys of his life is to come home and that little boy in the window beating on the glass, so glad to see him, so glad to be with him. We do not ever find in the Old Testament a relationship with God like that. We find a relationship with God much like the old English prayer book, the Almighty. You expect the words to come out in bass and reverberate all over heaven and half of the earth. You expect something tremendous to come down from heaven, lightning to flash, thunder to roll. You say, well, that don't really happen around God. Well, yes, it does. You should read it. You should read the Revelation. When John saw into heaven, he said it rolled over heaven just like thunder rolling in a thunderstorm. It rolled over heaven just like Niagara Falls, turning over the voice of many waters. The tremendous things going on in heaven. Tremendous voices ringing out in heaven. Tremendous things being said in heaven. But nobody running up and hugging God and saying, oh, Daddy, I'm so glad to see you. Nobody standing at the window and beating on the glass and waving at him and laughing and saying, I'm so glad to see you. It was a joy in my life in the evening when my father would come home. We always knew exactly what time Daddy was going to come home. We knew exactly. Mother could have supper ready on cue and on the table, because if he got off at 5 o'clock at the Department of Highways in Parisburg at 15 minutes after 5, his truck was going to come up the road. And one of the great things was, before his truck ever got in sight, the dog would alert me that he was coming, because some way the dog heard the truck and recognized the sound of Daddy's truck and would begin to run toward the road. And I would run, and as the truck came up, I would run along beside the truck and into the driveway and hug him and be so glad to see him. And Daddy would come into the back porch and summertime wash his face and hands in the wash pan. We didn't have indoor plumbing. I wasn't on a bad side of the tracks or nothing. We just didn't have it. And he would go to the table and eat supper. How happy I was in the evening to see him coming home. What a joy it was to run and to the truck and see him. And sometimes he'd open his dinner bucket, we called it, and he always had a treat in it. The first time I ever saw a banana flip was in my dad's lunchbox. First time I ever saw one of those snowball things that's chocolate and got marshmallow inside and then got a white marshmallow out coating on the outside with coconut was in my daddy's lunchbox. And all of those goodies that I would see in his lunchbox in the evening when he'd come in, what a joy it was to run to him and to be welcomed by my father and to welcome him home. But nobody that ever saw God or even a manifestation of God in a vision in the Old Testament ever ran to God and said, "Oh, my father," and wrapped her arms around him and loved him, because there was so much glory and so much power and so much majesty about him that you would not dare to approach the throne, and you'd fall on your face on the ground. You were not looking for him to have a dinner box with a treat in it. You were looking for him to cast lightning bolts and thunderclaps at your sins and your ungodliness, and you were terrified to be in his presence. But God chose the role of being a father. We didn't give him that title. We didn't say one day, "Let's adopt God." We didn't say that. We didn't go around saying, "You know, God needs a family, so let's all go up and adopt him and we'll be his children." It didn't happen that way. God chose the role of being father. Now let me tell you something about God. If you can't find it said about God in here, then you better not have it. Because everything that you know about God and everything that you can know about God is in here. And anything that anybody says about God that's not in here, you should not take it into your house, nor bid it Godspeed. Isn't that what the book says? Amen. Amen. So this is the authority on God. And what he says about God, you can believe. And what is not said, you don't need to believe or have anything to do with it. And so when I read this book, I discover that God has chosen to be my father. He's chosen to be your father. And he wants to be your father. And he wants to be called father. And he wants you to have a relationship with him that is a father-son relationship. Yes, he's the father of all creation. And in that sense, the alligators and the crocodiles are sons of God. The angels are sons of God. You say, "Well, I don't think angels are sons of God." Well, you better read the book of Job. Said when he created the earth, all the sons of God did what? Shouted for joy. And he's talking about the angels. So the angels are sons of God by creation, but they're not sons of God in any other way. And every human being that lives is a son of God by creation, but they may not go to heaven. All the sons of God are not going to heaven, because some of the sons of God have transgressed and rebelled against God. And you say, "Well, yeah, but God wouldn't send anybody to hell." Honey, we're all already condemned. Jesus said, "I did not come to condemn the world," but he said, "You are condemned already." We were born under the condemnation of sin. We live under the condemnation of sin. We're too weak to overcome it ourselves. And while we're sons of God by creation, we're not all sons of God by birth. But there are human beings on this earth who have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And those who have been born again, my friends, those people deserve to be called the sons of God. Now, God chose this role. Not us, but we never see in the Old Testament, not even once, is he called father in a familiar way, like you would speak to your father if he came home from work in the evening. He's never spoke of in that way. But in the New Testament, you remember the second scripture that we read? The first scripture that we read, of course, is what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. That's probably a misnomer. That's probably not the name for it, really. You say, "Well, it's in the Bible." No, it don't say the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. That's a term we put to it. And it is a prayer the Lord prayed. And it's a prayer the Lord taught us to pray. But it really is our prayer. It's a disciple's prayer. And it's a prayer that the Lord taught the disciples to pray. Now, not specifically every time you pray, say those words, although there's nothing wrong with saying those words if you mean them. But you can get in the habit of just saying prayers. You can just get in the habit and rattle off the Lord's Prayer and 23rd Psalm, a whole bunch of scriptures. If you got a reasonably good memory, There's any number of scriptures that I can quote and think about something else all at the same time. You see, my friend, just saying a prayer will not go through to the throne of God. Just saying a prayer will not get God's attention. God is listening for what's in your heart. God is listening for what's in your soul and the spirit that you're saying it with. So God has taught us to pray, and He's through Jesus. And when He taught us to pray, He taught us to address God as our Father. So, you know, if I come to my Father, I don't come to the house saying, "Most Holy Father, would you listen to me today? Pray, can I go to the ball game tonight," or whatever. We don't come before our Father like that. We're more likely to come before Him by sidling up to Him, putting our arm around Him, particularly if you're a little girl, and sidling up to Him and putting your arm around Him and saying, "Daddy, would you let me go to the ball game tonight?" Or, "Daddy, would you let me go with Sally Ann home tonight?" And we say it just real sweet and good and hug Him. And when He says we can, then we hug Him and thank Him, don't we? We don't go up to Him and crawl on our knees and hands and are terrified of Him. And you say, "But the Bible speaks of the fear of God." Yes, it does. And that's reverential fear, my friend. And God knows we need to have a lot of it in this world. And there's certainly a lot of it missing among church people and people that claim to be Christians as well as in the world. But I have to tell you, there's a new relationship in the New Testament that comes between man and God. And part of it is because the Lord Jesus Himself is the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. Do you realize what that means? That in all of the universe, there is not another person anywhere who is the begotten Son of God, who is literally the Son of God. The only begotten Son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, how can we ever be a child of God? How can we ever be there?" Because the Spirit of God has come into our hearts, and we are what? Adopted into the family of God. And you say, "Oh, that means we're second class." No. My friend, the adopted child gets to have everything that the natural born child has. When the parent goes out and adopts the child, he becomes an heir to all the father has. He becomes part of the family. He is recognized as one of them. Even though that person may have come from the other side of the tracks, may have come from a background that they hate, may have come from a background that's entirely foreign to that family, when that mother or that father takes that child in and adopts it, that child becomes theirs legally, morally, spiritually, and every way. He or she, as the case may be, becomes their child. Now in Romans and again in Galatians, Paul writes to the people and says, "We have become children of God. God has become our Father because He has adopted us." An adopted child does not ever need to feel second class. An adopted child does not ever need to feel that he is in a separate category than all the other children that's in the family, because he's not. That child has been chosen. The other children were just born, but that child has been chosen. That child is special because somebody went to that child and put their finger on it and said, "I'll take him. I'll take that child. I'll bring that child into my home, and I'll make that child my own." It may have come from terrible circumstances, may have come from things that are unspeakable, cruel. But when that child is adopted into the family, then that family becomes the family of that child, and that father becomes the child's father. You see, when you become a child, you get all the perks of being a child of the Father. Now, the Father, and Jesus called him this once, and Paul calls him this, and he says, and by the way, if you notice, it never, we don't pray and say, "My Father, which art in heaven." We don't say, "My Father, which art in heaven." What do we say? "Our Father, which art in heaven." Our Father. And it always speaks of it as ours. I always notice Rodney Freeman, when he speaks of his father, he'll say, "Our dad." He includes his brothers every time. And when you get adopted into the family of God, by the God our Father, and he becomes your father, then whether everybody else likes it or not, you are literally their brother and sister. You become one of them. I think maybe I've told you this story, but I never get tired of it because it's true. And I was there to know the people that were involved in it. We had a gentleman here in Virginia who was a state senator. He was very well off and had lots of land and several houses and a store. Well, a couple of stores, to tell you the truth. And he had some children and a family, and they got grown and they got raised and got out. And his wife and him were sitting in this great big old house with nothing to do. Just nothing to do. And they just didn't know what they were going to do with themselves. They didn't know. They just ran out of things to do. They had plenty of money. They had people to wait on them, people to do the work. And they got to talking about it, and they said, "Well, we ought to use this to some good." So they went to Richmond, to the orphanage, and they asked the people that ran the orphanage if they would show them the child that nobody else wanted. And when this man died, everybody stood around, and of course, being children of a senator and being children of a successful merchant and landowner and farmer, his children stood stoically by, you know, the casket and held their peace and choked back their tears, what little bit they had. But when this girl came in, she wept profusely over his casket, and she cried tears, and they called her down. And they said, "Look, you're not his real child. We're his real children, and we're not carrying on like this. Why are you crying and carrying on like this?" She said, "No, I wasn't born his child. But I was a little girl, 6 or 7 years old, in the Richmond orphanage. And people came every day, but they didn't want me because I was too big. All they wanted was the little babies. They'd take a little baby 3 or 4 weeks or months old, maybe a year or two old, they'd take them in a minute. But every day people came, and every day," she said, "I looked and they passed me by. Nobody wanted me. Nobody would have me because I was getting too old." And one day this old man and his wife came in, and they asked for the child that nobody wanted. And they came and got her, took her out of the orphanage, and they made her their own. She was an heir to everything they had. She was sent to college and educated just like the rest of them were. And when he died, she knew that the man who had chosen her had died. She was so grateful that she could call him father because he chose to be her father. And when you're out in sin, lost and undone without God and on your way to a devil's hell, my friend, God comes and pecks on your door and invites himself in and chooses to make you his child. Chooses to make you his child. My friend, what a great thing it is that God would do that. You see, when Paul wrote that, Jesus used this term too when he was talking to his heavenly Father. As I said a while ago, when Daddy would come in the truck in the evening, there's no way I would have went to the driveway and said, "Most Holy Father, we're thankful you're home today. Most Holy Father, would you come in and partake of supper with us?" There's no way I would do that. I would run to him and throw my arms around his neck and sit on his lap and climb up on his bibbed overalls and wait to see what treat he had for me in his dinner bucket. Oh, that was a great time. He would take me on a walk on Sunday, And when my favorite thing was he'd take me out of the holler and we'd walk down to Selco Station, down into Celanese. And the Celanese had an engine, a dinky engine that pulled the cars in and out and switched the cars for the coal cars and the box cars and whatever was coming in the Celanese. And we would go down and watch that engine go in and out. It got its steam from the plane. It didn't have to have fire burning in it. It was a steam engine. But my Uncle Ted was the engineer on it. And Daddy would take me down to Selco Station. They're all dead, so you can't get them in trouble, me telling this. And the gates used to be way closer to the plank than it is now. And they would put me up in the engine, and I could ride that steam engine in and out of the plank. And they let me pull that chain up there that was the steam whistle and blow the whistle. And then after we rode that, we'd walk across the bridge. And when it was a long way for a little toddler fella to walk out of the holler and across the fields and down to the station and around the railroad and across the bridge. And the Powhatan Era came in at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And Daddy would take me to the station to watch the train come in and the porters get off and the conductors and people get on and off the train and all the things that happened. What a good thing it was. But when I couldn't walk, he'd pick me up and carry me. You see, my father would not let me go where I could not. He didn't only hold my hand, but when I wasn't strong enough to make it, he'd pick me up and carry me and take me to the train so that I could see it go. And I just thought that was the best thing that ever happened in all the world. You see, I had the perks of being a child, but then I was a natural born child. But you see, the Apostle Paul said, by the spirit of adoption that's come into us, we can call him Father. But he doesn't just say it that way, does he? What does he say? He said, by the spirit of adoption that's come into me, we call him Abba, Father. Let's find us somebody here. Come, Aaron. Yes, you. And when he comes in the evening or leaves in the morning, and do you hug him?
Not always.
But you do hug him.
I do, yeah.
And when you hug him, what do you call him?
Daddy.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Who do you think in the world would ever hug the King of England and call him Daddy?
His son.
Oh, his son. His son. The word Abba is a term of tenderness, and it's the kind that you use for Daddy.
Yes.
Father could be, you may sit down. See, you can stand up in front of an audience and not be embarrassed. You see, you would say Father to lots of people, but there's only a few people in the world that can hug you and call you Daddy. You see, that's a familiar term. That's the kind of term I would have used when my daddy picked me up so he could carry me across the bridge to the station. It's the kind of term I would use when he came home in the evening and I ran to greet him. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who came to Buckingham Palace when one of the kings of England, I don't know if it was Edward, Elizabeth's father, but one of the kings of England was the king, and the little boy came and all the guards were standing there in their red coats and their fur hats and all the things, and he said, I've come to see the king. And they ran him off. He said, you can't see the king. You can't get in to see the king. And the little boy was not deterred. He waited. And finally, he walked over to the fence. Well, no way he could scale the fence. He just could look through the bars of wrought iron fence at Buckingham Palace. And he noticed there was a man who took a walk every day around the palace grounds. And one day as this man took a walk, the little boy got his attention and he talked to him. And the guards couldn't understand what happened, but the little boy suddenly was being ushered into Buckingham Palace. The gates opened wide and the guards stepped back, and he was ushered in, and he came up to the throne room to see the king. He wasn't sure he'd get to see the king. He wasn't sure that it would be possible, but he was in. And when he came before the king came out and sat on the throne, and the little boy noticed that the man he had talked to in the yard was just behind the king and stood behind his right hand. And he discovered that he had talked to the king's son. Now, no one else could get in. The guards would have killed you before you got through the gates of Buckingham Palace. But this little boy got in because he talked to the son of the king. And the son had access to the father. You know, the children always have the key to the father's house. Father doesn't always have the key to the children's house, but the children always have a key to the father's house. They can always come back and they can always unlock the door and they can always go in. And the Prince of England had heard the little boy's request. The guards wouldn't help him. The Prime Minister didn't care about him. The people who were in power did not do anything for him. But the king's son came in. You see, when you become a child of the king, you get the perks of the child. When you become adopted into the family of the king, you get the privileges of the child. That means you have unlimited access to the throne of the king. Isn't that wonderful? Are you a child of the king tonight? Are you a child of the king today? If you are, my friend, you have unlimited access to him. You can go to him anytime you want to go to him. You have access to the king. You can unlock the palace doors when nobody else can. You can unlock the palace doors when nobody else wants to. You can unlock the palace doors when nobody else thinks you ought to go in or deserve to go in. But when you get this king's son, and I happen to know the king's son. You know, I met him at a place called Calvary one day, and he gave me a get out of jail free card to get out of the prison of sin and the life that we were in. And he gave me a card that was stained with the blood of Calvary. And you know what he did? He went into the throne room and spoke to his father and opened the door for me. Hallelujah. I can go in now. I have unlimited access to the throne of God. You see, how do you do it? What do you say? I say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And it unlocks the door. And it sets me free. Hallelujah. It takes me in to the very throne room of God. And you know what? I happened to look one day, and they had the official documents of the kingdom laid out. And the official documents of the kingdom said that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the heir to all things. He owns all the worlds and planets and owns everything on the earth, under the earth and above the earth, and everything in heaven. And somebody wrote a postscript to him and said, and Eddie Kendall. I'm rich. I'm so rich. You say you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Honey, I own the hills. I own the cattle and I own the hills. I own the sun and the moon and the stars. I own the kingdom of God that's to come. You say, how can that be? You're just a little boy from over in Selco Holler next to Clendenin, raised in a 4-room house with no water in it. and an outhouse for a bathroom? How could you be an heir to all things? Because I met the King one day, and He took me in and adopted me. And where it says, Jesus Christ is an heir to all things, He said, and Eddie Kendall and Jenny Booth and Gloria Cast and all of us that are saved and redeemed by God, He included our names in it, my friend, and now I'm rich. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. And now I can say, praise God, I'm a child of the King. My friend, I have to tell you this evening, it's a wonderful thing to be adopted into royalty, because I have uninhibited access to Him. I have a deed that says I'm an heir to everything that He has. And when I get in a pinch, have you ever been in a pinch? Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever been up the creek without a paddle? Have you ever been in a position that you just didn't know which way to turn, and you couldn't tell this way, that way, or any way? You couldn't tell which way to go. And you say, who am I going to call on? Who am I going to get to help me? And you didn't feel like you could call your family, and you didn't feel like you had any friends that could help you, and you didn't feel like there was any way for you to turn. So what did you do, my friend? He's your Father, and you have unlimited access to Him. And when you're in a pinch, you can call His name. You can call the name of His Son, and it'll open the door. And I have the freedom to call Him when I'm in a pinch. And you know what else? I have the privilege to cuddle with the Lord. Do you know that? He'll take me on His lap. One of the great pictures of the church is of Jesus Christ sitting under a tree and the little children sitting on His laps, and He's putting His arms around them. He loves them. And you know, I have the privilege to get up on God's knee and sit on His lap and Him put His arms around me and hold me. And I can feel His heart beating and His breath on me. And He loves me and pats me and takes care of me and makes me feel better when I'm bad and lets me know that I'm loved and I'm cared about. And you say, how come? Because the Spirit of God that lives in me calls Him Abba, Father. That word means daddy. That word means daddy. Who can go into the throne room of the King and climb up on the King's lap and hug the King around the neck and say, daddy, I'm glad to be here with you? His Son. His Son. And my friend, He's adopted you into His family, and He's willing to take you in His arms and hold you on His knees and love you like nobody else could ever love you. You say, but I'm an orphan in this world. You may be, but you're not an orphan in eternity, because God our Father in heaven loves you and cares about you and sent His Son to die for you and made a space in His will to add your name to the list of heirs. He made a place to list your name to a list of heirs. My friend, I remember so many years ago, and I'll try to tell you this and not cry, but I remember this so well. One night when we lived over in the holler, I was dreaming, and I was going out the back door. And Barbara Gilmer was standing there, my sister-in-law. And she said, Eddie, he's here. He's here. And I opened the door and looked down in the yard. And there was the Lord sitting on a bench under the apple tree. And I ran as hard as I could run through the yard and fell on the ground. I don't know what His face looked like, but it was the Lord. And He was sitting on that bench that Granddaddy put under the apple tree. And I buried my face right here in the pit of His stomach. And He wrapped His arms around me. And He held me. And He loved me. And when I woke up, well, actually I wasn't awake. I wasn't asleep anymore. I was awake for the last part of that. But when I woke up and got up in the morning, I thought, I'm going to tell Fern that I talked to the Lord last night. But I couldn't. When I went to the breakfast table to tell her about that, I cried. I couldn't tell it. I came to church and stood up to tell it, and I couldn't tell it all. Every time went on for months, I just cried. Every time I went to tell somebody I had seen the Lord, I cried. But you know what? I finally got so I could tell it. Still, after years and years, still crying about it. Because he loved me like a daddy would love me. He held me on his lap. My head, I was on the ground. He was sitting down. And he wrapped his arms around me and he cared about me. And my friend, that's not a unique experience for me. That's for every one of you that's been adopted into the family of God. God loves you. I never forget one time I was up on the hill with a scythe behind Daddy's house cutting weeds on a hot summer day, cutting briars and whatnot up there with a scythe. And I looked down at the house and there was a little step that went down into Daddy's basement. And Demetria was just, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And she was coming out that step and she got caught in it. Her foot got caught in it and wrenched it and hurt her real bad. It just caused a lot of pain. And I heard her scream. And I threw that scythe down and leaped off of the hill through the briars and the weeds and ran down and grabbed that little girl up, pulled her to myself and held her up on my shoulder and loved and kissed away her pain and set her free. And when I did, I heard God, the Holy Ghost, speak in my ear. And he said, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And I said, oh God, you love me so much. Oh God, you care so much about me. Yes, Deronda, if it matters to him, to me, it matters to him. If I'm hurt, he hurts. If I'm afraid, he feels my fear. And he holds me the way I would hold my child. And you say, I'm afraid God's going to throw me out of the kingdom of God. I've never been tempted to throw one of my children out of the family. I haven't always been pleased with what they did. Haven't always been pleased with what they said. But I've never been tempted to throw one of my children out of the family because they're mine. I'm their father and I love them. And no man can pluck me out of my father's hand. My brother Jesus Christ said that. No man can pluck me out of his hand. And my friend, God loves you today. You say, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I know God forgive every sin you've ever committed. And he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And he'll take you into his arms and he'll love you. He'll write your name on heaven's scroll as an heir to all things. And he'll give you access to the throne room. And you can go in and talk to him. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But now I'm a child of the heavenly King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. My brothers and sisters, If you're not in his family today, he's open to receive adoptions. Won't you come in? He wants to be your father. And if you're a saved person today, don't you doubt it one bit, my friend. Jesus paid the price for your adoption into the King's family. Amen. Father, I want to thank you today for the Holy Ghost. I want to thank you for the precious Spirit of God that's been here this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be a member of your family. And I want to thank you for all the peoples here, Lord, who have been saved and redeemed. And Lord, for all of those who will be listening by radio and over the internet, I pray that the Spirit of God will touch their hearts and draw them to you and bring them to salvation and to redemption. And Father, I give you praise and glory and honor for saving every soul and redeeming every life. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.